And we are live.
Woo!
Late, but better late than never. Hello, and welcome to Circulus, a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. Some people play games to kill monsters. Some people play games to escape monsters. And some people play games to throw monsters at other people. I am all three of those individuals tonight. My name is Crash. I will be your DM for the evening. And with me today are a collection of individuals who may or may not be a variety of those categories, including we have Chris playing Galen Kaldor, we have Tom playing Maris Orcbane, we have Jen playing Meepo Chippedclaw, we have Matt playing Aristabulus Ravenscroft, and Obeyman and Fenix are AFK. I don't know where they are, so they might show up, they might not. We'll find out, maybe. All right, so to recap, in our last episode, which was 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
That was too long. That was too long, but real life is real life. In our last episode, you managed to take down, with a little help, an archdevil. Galen literally dropped a bomb on him, and that didn't kill him. It took a paladin using smite and a natural 20 to do that. You were unable to find Vex and Shepherd before you had to hightail it out of there, unfortunately. And you're still kind of feeling that loss, but Obeim gets the sense from his god, through some prayers that he did, that Ilmater is watching over Vex, which is not the best thing in the world, because Ilmater is the god of suffering, so... Maybe Vex isn't in a good way if Ilmater is saying, I'll watch over him. But it means that he's probably not in the next life at this point. So you've got that going for you, at least. Galen, under some direction from a character that you have not met, decided, okay, well, I'm taking you out of here, but I'm taking you north. And so you went north over the ocean and encountered a flying city. You were intercepted by a variety of flying vehicles that led you to a landing area, a runway, if you will. And the adamantine dirigible was tethered off. Most of you disembarked. Galen and Agum stayed on board, and you were greeted by a welcoming committee. There were various gnomes going around doing jobs like tethering the blimp down. When you're this high up, there are crosswinds and stuff, so something as large as a dirigible that's mostly full of lighter-than-air contents, you tether off if you want to see again. And Galen wants to see his blimp again, so that's that. But there were also some dignitaries that approached. Most of them appeared to be like centaurs, but with wings. So they were pegatars. Most of them were wearing chainmail armor, but the one leading the contingent is wearing more civilian garb. He still happens to have a large sword strapped to his back, but the rest of him looks like he's a civilian. He introduced himself as the mayor of Serene, the flying city. Let me look up his name again so I can tell you the exact name.
Mr. Mayor.
He's not Mr. Mayor.
Can he be?
No.
No.
Centaurin Keltander. So Mayor Keltander greets you. Fenix says a few things about maybe destroying things, which gets some side eyes. Now, last week, I also released an episode where I'm the only voice you hear in it, but it is canon. It's a bunch of dream sequences. How that was done up was I asked each of the players, each of you, what your characters were dreaming about. And I tried to include a dream sequence for every character played by a PC in this entire campaign. And none of them ended particularly well. But those dreams are canon. That's what your characters dreamed the last time you took a nap.
It's so dark.
Did Maros ever find a hat?
Well, if you recall, in his particular dream, once he put the hat on and looked in the mirror to see how fetching he was, which actually, he was rocking the hat. It was perfect. It fit his personality expertly. That's when everything went dark and he got eaten.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. But then he woke up and found out he didn't actually have a hat. It was all just a dream. That's the waking nightmare.
Can I? Because I don't think I've actually spoken to you since I listened to that. Can I just very quickly say your attention to detail on all of the characters with the backstory? Beautiful.
Good job.
Thank you. I was rushing through it because for the past 2 weekends, the reason why we weren't recording was because I was driving to Pennsylvania for Father's Day weekend and a weekend to celebrate my mom's birthday. And so it was Friday night, I was rushing through trying to finish it, knowing that if I didn't get the recording done and uploaded, then it would not happen. And I went through, and as I'm reading, I'm like, I screwed up there. I have used this phrase 15 times so far, and I'm halfway through. I'm pointing out all the mistakes that I made, but, oh well, you're not supposed to do that when you're an artist. Art teachers are supposed to do that, but that's another story entirely.
Yes.
So you are on a runway with a bunch of Pegatars and gnomes. What do you do?
The mayor introduced himself. Did he pretty much just say, welcome to Serene?
Serene, but yes.
Serene.
That's where we ended it. So okay. The last thing that happened was he said welcome.
Ari will go up to the Pegatar.
Yeah.
Which is unusual in and of itself. Good day, Mayor. My name is Aristobulus Ravenscroft. We were on our way home when we got a little sidetracked. Can you recommend some place where we might, rest for a while?
Indeed. We at Serene actually have several hotels or hostelries where you can spend the night if you have the coin to spend. If you don't have the coin to spend, we might be able to make some exceptions. The city does have some coffers that we can open in times of need. So we have
some coin. Whether or not it's coin of your particular realm, however, might be suspect. But we can perhaps come to some arrangement.
We here at Serene are not known to be picky. So long as the gold is gold.
And we have more than just a little gold.
He nods at this.
Excellent. By chance, can you, I realize you may be a busy man, but it doesn't seem like you get many visitors here. I am interested to learn more about this location, and Ari is doing his best to try not to be like, holy cow, not to give the looking up at all the skyscrapers and buildings and you know, the touristy wide-eyed glances.
So the one in the middle that the map is labeled as the Great Library, that's over 250 feet tall.
Yeah, so we can see it from here.
Yeah, you can see that from here. You can also see a 75-foot tower that is further to, so far as this map is arranged, the west. That it would be a spectacular view in any city, but it looks like a little baby tower compared to the big one in the middle.
So we have, we've kind of lost our way momentarily, at least me and my immediate partners here. I would like to learn more about this place. Where would be the best place to go do that?
Oh, we could perhaps even take you on a tour through our wonderful city. That is a service that we provide to our guests. However, there is the simple matter of the Immigrations and Customs Office.
I see. Yes. Certainly you might wish to restrict certain things. What?
Give me an insight check.
Insight check. Okay. I am trained in insight. So let's see. What did we roll? All right. So that's a 2, and that goes to a 6. So.
Okay. You don't notice anything.
Yep. I don't think so. He's too busy side-eyeing like this tall buildings and whatnot.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the mayor is side-eyeing the dragonborn that is threatening to break things. So a gnome comes forward. He has a little name badge on his uniform that says Sky Ratchet. And he is not wearing the pointy hat, in case you're wondering.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, I know. he is wearing more of a cap, but never mind about that. Most of the gnomes appear to be somewhat rounder than you normally expect gnomes to be, but you very quickly realize that it's not that they are pudgier, it's that they are wearing bulkier clothing, which helps keep them warmer at these altitudes. But otherwise, okay. They look very similar to rock gnomes.
Rock gnomes. So Oompa Loompas.
They are not, in fact, Oompa Loompas. They will break into song if you fall over the edge, though.
Ari will introduce himself. You said his name. He's wearing a name badge.
Yes, and he clears his throat and he's like,
"So, just so you know, we do have a typical routine. Let me describe it for you. We have streamlined it after bypassing certain amounts of paperwork." And this gnome looks over at the mayor in a very ominous glare, where he does not appreciate that they have bypassed this paperwork that should be done by anyone coming into the city.
Awful neutral. Excuse me.
Quite possibly.
So let me explain how this will work. I have here a wand of truth detection, and I place it on your forehead like so, and he places it on his own forehead. You will be asked a series of questions, and if you happen to answer in a way that is not particularly truthful, for example, "I am a jelly donut," and suddenly the wand glows red, and you just hear this scream come from the wand going, "Liar!" As you can see. So, who would like to go first?
I will do so.
All right. And he comes over, and another gnome comes over and puts down a step stool, and he climbs up on the step
stool. I don't even know how tall. I don't remember how tall I made Ari. He's 5'9". Well, yeah, it's a gnome. Ari's 5'9", so he's pretty much average.
he could reach, but his arm would get tired.
Yeah. At this point, Galen has secured his ship and is starting to walk down there.
Okay, so you're seeing this gnome climbing up on a step stool, and the mayor at the same time is explaining, "I would prefer to bypass all of this, but you do understand. We are a flying city. We are the only flying city, and we weren't always the only flying city, but we would like to continue being a flying city. So safety is of utmost importance." And as he finishes saying safety is of the utmost importance, there's an explosion behind him from one of the planes, and you see a few gnomes go flying into the air and they land. He just takes a deep breath and says, "For example, you will notice that the runway is actually undamaged and no one was probably seriously hurt. Medic!"
And you'll notice at no time do my fingers leave my hands.
I feel like your timing was like perfect there.
"Where are my eyebrows? Am I missing an eyebrow? It's over here."
I'm going to go see if I can help with the medic part of that. And he runs off to try and help.
The other Pegatars sort of like try to politely block your way. Like, we do need to do this first. We appreciate
Ari's ready
this.
For his exam.
But
you don't want the healing magic? That's on you. Okay.
We do have clerics. We graciously appreciate it, but in all honesty, if we don't do this, the Skyrashic clan's going to throw a fit. Okay, he reaches out, this customs agent reaches out and puts the wand to Ari's forehead, and he goes, "All right, so here we go. Question one, what is your name?"
"Aristobulus Ravenscroft."
"What is your quest?"
What is our quest? To seek new light. No.
The Holy Grail.
We seek foci for a particular ritual, and we had just recovered one when we got kind of waylaid.
Yes, okay. What is your favorite color?
I simply place my hand or wave my hand before my blue robes. Is it not evident?
Please answer the question.
Blue.
All right.
No, the yellow.
The wand is now calibrated. Now for the real questions.
Okay.
Do you or anyone you know of have any interest in harming the flying city or any of its occupants?
No.
He waits for a moment, looks at the wand, shakes it a little bit. Like, okay. Next question. Are you or any of your companions guilty of, through action or inaction, the destruction of a populace?
I'm sorry, what now?
A populace.
Oh, an oculus.
No, a populace, where people
a city,
are.
A town.
Oh, populace. I wasn't sure what you said there. Yeah, there we go. through inaction or action?
Just answer the question, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with yes. We probably did.
You hear a cricket chirping. Somewhere off in the distance, a pin drops. The mayor clears his throat awkwardly.
You did say action or inaction.
You might want to elaborate on that. That is one of the things that would prevent you from entering our city.
Where should I begin? Do you have a few hours?
Just if you could give us the short version.
Let's see. Where should I start? Well, we did places we have visited, or at least myself. Actually, am I the only one left here? Meepo. No, Meepo was here.
Most of the cities you visited that were destroyed had nothing to do with you.
Right. We were in the wrong place at the wrong time for several events.
So for all of those, if you said no, the answer would be correct.
Right.
The only one where the answer would be yes would be...
Coomeridge.
No.
No, not Coomeridge. Yeah.
The goblins Oregano. That we murdered causing no, all the
Oregano.
Thing.
Oregano. Yeah. Because you killed the Aboleth that...
Right. Then made the rest of the city blow
up. Kraken. You released the Kraken.
Right.
And that destroyed Oregano.
Right. By killing the Aboleth, it let the Kraken loose. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Ari will explain that then. That we were exploring an underground mine, which there had been some sort of explosion? No. We were looking for more foci. Exploring the mine where we believed the foci to be, we found a salt-tainted aboleth, which in order to rescue the locus, we had to destroy the aboleth. But not in doing so, we did not realize that it was protecting or blocking access or blocking a kraken, which then once the aboleth was deceased, the kraken became loose and destroyed the city. So... unless we're underwater or underground, we probably don't have a lot to worry about.
Mayor looks over at Officer Sky Ratchet.
Meanwhile, the wand is deathly silent.
Oh, yes. not everything you said is 100% accurate, but if Ari believes what he's saying, then it's going to stay silent.
Yeah. He's not attempting to deceive. It's so much has happened since then. It's kind of been like, oh, well, that's the least of our problems.
Yeah, exactly. So Sky Ratchet looks over at the mayor, and the mayor looks over at Sky Ratchet, and he's like, is that sufficient? to my knowledge, we do not have any Kraken below decks, so yes, I suppose. Who is next?
All right.
He basically goes through and asks the same questions to every single person.
Okay.
So we can bypass RPing that if you so choose. I mean, I would like to hear what every character's favorite color is. I would like to know if any of you does know what the airspeed policy of an Aladdin swallow is.
African or European, or at least perhaps in this case, Coomeridgean or... well, there's the Alejandrian swallow versus the Orcish swallow. Ari is trained in nature, so he might know that garbage.
Okay. So they're able to go through that. He doesn't use the wand on Meepo, and Agum is still hanging out inside the blimp, so he doesn't use the wand on Agum either. But he does look around and says, You're a spellcaster, right?
Who, me?
He's pointing directly at Ari.
Oh, yes.
I assumed with the robes, it's sort of a dead giveaway. I assume that you are maintaining the charm spell that's keeping the kobold under control?
She is here of her own free will. I would never do such a thing to my companion and friend, Meepo.
Several
what do you mean by under control? What exactly do you mean by under control?
The mayor clears his throat again and goes, we...
But wait, how do you know about kobolds?
We do have a small number of kobolds in the city. They are mostly maintained as servants. Kobolds as a group tend to become somewhat destructive, so they are usually kept under control through various charm spells.
But you just don't know kobolds. If they have what they need, they're happy. I don't really know why they're here, because... Like to dig. How do you dig in the clouds? How did they get here?
I'm curious as well.
Mostly the Nagpa brought them.
The who?
It's a what?
The Nagpa are one of the many races that are here in Serene.
Oh.
Perhaps that is something we can look into later, Meepo. I am very curious to see if any of these other kobolds perhaps relate to you.
Yeah, I want to talk to the kobolds.
I do as well.
Okay, and he continues through. When he's asking the questions to Fenix and asks if he would try to harm anything, he says no, and it screams liar.
Imagine what thing you're talking about.
Hello, Logan.
Hi.
So, yeah, basically, I don't know when you came in, but you're basically... being interviewed by Customs and Immigration, and they have a wand of truth detection. So what they do is they put the wand up to your forehead and ask you a bunch of questions. Some of them are for calibration purposes, but then they ask you if you have any intention of harming or breaking anything on the city. Based on your comments at the end of our last session, the answer should be yes.
Pretty much.
Do you say yes?
Yeah.
You do say yes?
Yep.
Okay. So that leads to another awkward moment. This one is perhaps more awkward than when Ari pointed out that you once freed a kraken that destroyed a city.
What did we do that or leave the apple?
My bad. I was fighting a great evil, and another great evil was freed from fighting the other great evil. No, you're just up and saying, yeah, I'm going to break things.
But he did it with love.
So, I respectfully smash things.
So this is a little awkward. What exactly are you?
Dragonborn?
A dragonborn.
How do you guys know kobolds but not know dragon?
Perhaps they have another name here.
Oh, okay.
No, if they had another name and they were
they'd just
here,
call it by the other name.
Just call you by that other name. Perhaps some of our scholars would be familiar with Dragonborn, but I've personally been all over Mystara and I have never seen one of your kind before. That would not be a barrier to entry, but you have admitted honestly that you have interest in destroying things in our city, and we cannot allow you to enter our city.
Hold on. Very quick point. Mystara?
Yes.
What's a Mystara?
Yeah. What is that?
The world we're from.
Oh.
Okay. So are you aware you are no longer there?
That has come to our attention. The stars at night showing very different constellations was a big hint. The fact that we've been traveling for about a month and not seen any sign of land, which is becoming increasingly problematic, was another one.
Circulus is primarily water.
We gathered.
It's a problem. I'm assuming Galen would have a map to help these people out, right?
They are very eager to find out about this map of yours.
Yeah,
like you don't need an insight check. It is written all over their faces.
Perhaps Mayor and Sky Wrench here
Sky Ratchet.
We can work out a... Huh?
Sky Ratchet.
Ratchet. Sky Ratchet. I'm sorry. We perhaps can be of mutual benefit to one another.
Give me 2 seconds. And he books it back to the dirigible. Comes back a couple minutes later with a map. It's what you're looking for.
This is exactly what we've needed. Where on this map might we be?
Right, let's see. I picked you guys up here. We flew north for... here.
You end up pointing to a spot that's about a foot north of where the map stops.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I figured. Yeah. But you're close. You're very close. that said, I'm not certain that approaching the lands of Circulus may necessarily be to your benefit.
Well, I'm assuming this thing requires fuel and energy to fly, correct?
Oh, in that regard, we are very self-sufficient. Where we are not self-sufficient is in procuring food.
Ah!
Aha!
Not
a lot of arid land on the floating island.
We do have some crops that we're able to grow. We do have a lake that does provide us with some fresh fish. We have many high-ranking clerics that are able to conjure food, but we are reaching the limit of what we can do.
Well,
we've been flying over water for well over a month, and when the last time we tried to get closer to sea level to maybe harvest some things from the ocean, it did not go very well. One of the gnomes says,
I don't know, the Leviathan was kind of fun.
Well, Lord Ravenscroft, if I may suggest, we could point them in the direction of Adrolanka.
Adrolanka, they would travel over a significant portion of the continent to get to Adrolanka.
Right, Adrolanka is like way in the south. They're going to get spotted long before that. And I'm certain that other creatures, i.e. those flying reptiles we like to call dragons.
Not so friendly.
Yeah, not so friendly. Exactly. Among
there,
other...
There's some chuckles from the Pegatars.
Yeah. Well...
we know all about dragons.
Very well. But that said, your appearance over land, what little there is, will certainly cause much alarm by any numbers of populace on the islands or on the continent, as it were. I hesitate to use the word continent, but it is the only land upon this world.
Would we know of anywhere on Circulus that would be kind of uninhabited, but still lush enough for them to actually get a supply?
Give me a history check.
Okay. 15.
I already rolled an 18. Goes to plus 7 for 25.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. So Galen has some ideas of where less charted areas might exist. And he starts suggesting some of those while putting them out on the map. Ari, in the meantime, sort of adds in, well, that was true, but this area is currently occupied by this clan of elves. They're kind of militaristic and don't take kindly to outsiders. This area here would be perfect, except it's sort of been settled by a band of orcs that additionally do like to shoot first and ask questions later. They do this literally, which would not actually really yield any results, but they do have some shamans that can speak with the dead, so they still get their answers.
Perfect for me and Obeyam. Let's go say hi.
We're not there yet.
pretty much everywhere on Circulus is settled by somebody or something.
Right. Now,
the question
what
is
would...
if they're friendly or not. And some areas are more metropolitan than others.
Right, and that might be our best bet.
Adrolanka would probably welcome the city with open arms and then plot behind their back to take over the city.
Yes, right for much looting.
Galen doesn't know that. That's the reason I suggested that.
Which is why Ari would be like, no. Right now, these are friends. Let's keep them that way.
Suggesting it. Meanwhile, Ari is in the back just going, Ixnay, drawing a finger across his...
That actually brings a good point. Do you actually know that Galen is also from Adrolanka?
No, I don't think we've ever talked that much.
Okay.
Because I don't think... we only met when
Adrolanka with your mother.
Right, exactly. And I was more concerned about dealing with her than meeting new people.
Fair.
He was a little distracted.
Yeah, and then all the bad guys showed up.
Kill everyone.
Right, and there was an explosion. Fair. Oh, and look, here's an adamantine blimp.
The best part for them to go, if they were to make a beeline for any particular settlement, would be... the Empire's former capital, De Perfecta, because that is where the Council of Races now meets. So that would be where they would probably be able to meet with the closest thing that Circulus has to a unifying government.
The Council of Circulus.
I'm looking at a brief, the overlay map. We essentially start.
They would have to travel over a significant portion, not as far as they would have to get to Adrolanka. But they'd still go over a specific portion. De Perfecta is in the western side, closer to the middle.
Okay.
Can I map that out for
you? Okay, so what on the crescent that we're looking at, it would be somewhere either underneath the R on this map.
It'd be closer to where the I or the C is, like in between the I and the C.
Right. But that closer more towards the Orc Island or...
You'd have to go past the Orc Island. You are north of the Orc Island.
Right. That's where we are. But the city we're talking about, it would be south of it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm getting bored and I'm wandering around.
They might not let you, Meepo. Please be careful.
Okay. I'm always careful.
They're sort of moving in a way that, like, look, you know how if you're at a playground and kids running around and a parent just casually moves in a direction to keep the kid from running towards, like, traffic or something?
Yeah. No. Come here.
Mm-hmm.
I cast prestidigitation on the biggest shiny she's got on her visible and turn it pink.
Yay!
That'll keep you entertained for 10 minutes or so.
Look at that. That's cool.
I think perhaps we might be able to help one another here. I realize that our friend, my associate Fenix here, has been truthful in that he might smash things. He has a penchant for
wagons.
So
he's got a little wagon that he breaks. It's a toy.
He does. He can be somewhat distracted. But we will do our best to keep him from exercising his boisterous or enthusiastic notions.
I kind of just tug on Ari to lean down and listen to me for a second.
Yeah,
I could always just cast suggestion on him to make sure he doesn't break stuff.
We'll deal with that if we need to. For now, I think we have greater needs than worrying about him right now.
No need. He is an honorable paladin.
In the Sky Ratchet gnome and the mayor. Have a discussion that I'm not going to RP out because I don't feel like talking to myself a whole lot. But to sum it up, they are of differing minds. The mayor is much more interested in using these coordinates and getting somewhere so that the people of the city don't starve to death slowly.
Understandable.
Ratchet is much more interested in following the letter of the law in regards to who gets to come in and who doesn't.
Also came to understandable.
Yeah.
Yes. Give me another insight check.
Who?
Anyone who's paying attention to this conversation.
No, I'm not. I'm playing with a little pink bag.
Ari, definitely paying attention.
I'm paying attention.
Ari got a total of 18.
I got a 16.
22.
Damn, cleric.
So you get the strong sense that while the mayor is the mayor, He is relatively new to the office, and while the customs agent is only a customs agent, the Skyratchet clan is one of the more prominent clans in the city.
They have much clout.
So while on its face, this conversation would probably not happen if you were just talking about rank, it's happening because there's more powers involved than the people in front of you. And they come to a sort of agreement where they'll have one of the clerics that happens to be now on the runway tending to the people who were recently airborne due to a well-timed explosion come over and cast Detect Evil. And that'll settle the matter. If none of you are evil, then okay, we'll accept merely incompetent as the excuse. And they'll sort of let you into the city under observation.
That is more than welcome. Look, we understand that you're worried about adventurers perhaps causing havoc in your city. You have traveled through some sort of dimensional breach and are in another world where there is perhaps much danger to you and yours.
Tell us something we don't know. Shh.
What I'm saying is that we are the least of your worries at this moment. Most of us do want to help you. Most of us are inclined to give assistance and aid wherever possible. Myself, Meepo, Obame, and Fenix in his own way. But Fenix is a rather enthusiastic individual in his pursuit of justice. And if it causes a wagon to perhaps become mangled in some way, then unfortunately it is viewed as collateral damage. We generally do not attempt to cause havoc everywhere we go, but as adventurers and explorers, it sometimes is an unfortunate side effect. That said, we can do our best to curb our natural instincts, or at least have Fenix curb his natural instincts. And certainly if you wish to keep someone handy to follow us, we understand.
As the mayor, I do have certain responsibilities and obligations. However, before I took this post, I was captain of the guard. And right when he says this, the various Pegatars that are nearby, just like their stance stiffens a bit. They're a little more at attention than they were before. We have done business with a wide variety of adventurers over my career. We are very much aware that not all adventurers are created equal. One thing that does seem to always come with them is chaos, and we understand that they don't always intentionally bring it. However, I do trust, and he's looking directly at Fenix when he says this, even though he is giving the air that he's speaking to the entire group, that you will be on your best behavior. And as he's saying this, another gnome is jogging over across the runway. As they get closer, you can tell that it is a female gnome. She is wearing full plate mail and happens to have a warhammer strapped to her back. She has bright pink, bubblegum pink hair in pigtails. Yes. And she approaches and then puts her hands on her knees and goes, "Why is this runway so long?" Okay. And then she salutes and says, "Luminous Skyratchet reporting for duties." And she falls backwards. "Sir!" And a few other gnomes help her up. "Okay, what seems to be the problem?" And they point out she's supposed to cast Detect Evil, so she goes through the motions and casts the spell, and... Okay, oh. And she sort of tilts her head at Meepo. "Huh.
You have really pretty hair."
"Oh, thank you. I use a dye that my uncle made. It's I was gonna offer to share it with you, but... That won't work.
Not for hair. I could change colors or something. It doesn't last."
"That's a shame. This lasts for about a month."
"Oh, that's pretty good."
"Oh, I know, I kind of like it too. And she turns to the mayor and says, the kobold's not evil. It's kind of weird. The orc on the ship isn't evil either. That's kind of weird too.
You may find things are different here. A lot different.
And the mayor nods at this and says, yes, yes. But what about that one? Not really Fenix? Evil. Yeah, he points at Fenix.
Yeah.
Not really evil. Some of their stuff is sort of kind of like it was near evil a lot.
We did just recently encounter a devil.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And he is no longer a part of this world. He's been sent home by us.
I dropped the bomb on his head.
He did. It was great.
And Fenix over there released a, how shall I say, a God's wrath upon the devil and sent him home packing.
One of the other gnomes that happens to be carrying around a clipboard that up until now is just checking things off, sort of like sidles his way over to Galen and goes, so you're saying that your airship is carrying bombs?
He had one.
No, it was just that one.
Okay, you realize we will need to inspect the airship.
Just don't touch any buttons.
If you would leave the way, sir.
I'll lead them off to the airship.
Okay. It's just the one gnome that comes in. He is a safety inspector. And let me look up something.
I go up and check the orb. Wake up. Be respectful.
It looks kind of small and squishy.
Yeah, well, the reason we're here, so be nice.
Okay.
I'm trying to look something up and I'm not finding it, which is fun. He is not a Sky Ratchet. He's another clan. To be announced later when I find the information, but he's not a Sky Ratchet. So he looks around, and he sees the button in the back that's shiny and red and has a big sign on it that says, do not press inside a gravity well. And he looks at it, and he looks at it, he looks at it. And then he looks at his clipboard and says, okay, it looks like all of your safety precautions are in place. He checks that off.
Safety is the number one.
Safety third, as I always say. Okay, so. And he pulls out a device from one of his belt pouches and hits a button. And he says, well, there doesn't seem to be any explosive agents inside the cabin itself. What do you use to power your airship?
That's a trade secret, I'm afraid.
Love.
It's nothing dangerous, but it's a trade secret.
He raises an eyebrow at that. Odd. We power ours with explosive spells. To each their own. And he heads back out. Waves this. All clear.
And just what's your character called again, Eric?
Agum.
Agum? I just kind of look at Agum. Does he not realize that you don't need explosive spells to do this?
Look, I don't even know what this thing runs on either. All I know, it makes us go high. That's it. I like looking at things that are high. Maybe I can find my brother Grommark from up here. So that's all that matters to me.
When you're up high, all those ants look like ants. And the uncles look like ants.
I need to get smarter, friends. And he walks off.
Okay. Well, lost my place. Okay, so the cleric who has introduced herself as Luminous Skyratchet, cleric of Garrel Glitterload, has given you the all clear, and she's asked if she's sure. She says yes. Is she sure she's sure? Yes. Is she sure she's sure she says yes before they finish asking that. It's mostly the customs agent that keeps asking. You get the sense that they know each other. They do have the same last name. They are in the same clan. But clans can be quite large. You could have gnomes in the same clan that don't know each other. They might be more closely related. And finally, she looks like she's about to smack him before the mayor stands in the way. And it's kind of hard for... They could continue to fight, but they'd have to go underneath him to fight, which would be a little undignified for everyone involved. And they sort of back down. Like, okay, well, if that's all, May I be the first to welcome you again to Serain the Flying City? May I suggest the Singing Winds? It is a fine establishment, plenty of rooms. Based on what you've told me, you will probably be able to afford it. Great food. Cannot recommend it enough. It also is within walking distance of the Onyx Tower. You, sir, and he is talking to Ari when he says this, might find that building to be of particularly particular interest. It is
the Onyx Tower.
The Onyx Tower. It's he points your direction to the smaller of the two giant spires that you see.
Yes.
That does happen to be our local Wizards Academy.
Oh, excellent. I will definitely be going there. By chance, and he kind of points off to the larger section to what would be the north here from the landing strip. Any of those a library of any kind?
That whole thing is the library. That would be our great
library. Oh, my. Excellent.
Oh, my.
Yes. Pull out my best George Takei.
I'm just going to... Again, tug on Ari's robe. Lord Raven, Ravenscraft, I'm going to head back to the dirigible for a few minutes. I have to go speak to a god.
Go. Go. Do whatever.
All right.
Mr. Ari found his happy place. It's a giant
library. Yes, he finds books and loses all sense of manners, so got it.
To be fair, Lord is a very... not very high on his list of things he likes to be called, but still.
Well, again, Galen doesn't know that.
You're right, yeah. So, perfectly legit. All right.
Custom Officer Skyratchet does chime in and say, if you are so inclined, you would actually be able to purchase a library card for the library, and you just need to have an interview with the head librarian, and that can all get settled away. And several of the other gnomes that are within earshot, so Snicker says this, but you don't know why.
Oh, I can be persuasive when I need to be. All right. Well, thank you for entry into your wonderful city, Serain, Lord Mayor, Inspector. We will do our best as guests to keep ourselves well behaved, as guests should, and we thank you. How do we, I personally do have an interest in seeing that your citizens survive here, as you are probably here for the duration. Where can I meet you, Mr. Mayor, and where can I at least be the most assistance to you?
Hold on a second. All right, let's go this way. He says, well, based on your reaction, I assume that you'll probably be spending most of your time in the Great Library.
I do intend to visit, yes.
He'll be there a while.
You might not see me for days.
I just like the idea.
I say that in my out loud voice?
Meepo playing with the pink shiny that she just got from Galen. Just sort of like casually just enters into the conversation that she was only half paying attention to. Like, yeah, he'll be there a while.
Yeah, he likes slavery.
Well, as luck would have it, there are usually several of the guards stationed outside the library. Any one of them would be able to convey a message to me.
Excellent. Excellent. We will at least be headed towards the... What was the name of the inn?
You see, I'm flipping through the pages of this book.
Sorry.
This is what I
meant to write it down, and then I got distracted.
This is what I get for not coming up with original content and using something that somebody else wrote. If I just scrapped everything and started over, I could make stuff up as I go and just have to remember what I came up with. No,
right.
I'm using content that somebody else made.
I think it was Singing Winds.
Yes, the Singing Winds. You're absolutely right. It is a hostelry with bars, a restaurant with a superb Arakocra chef.
Now, player knows what that is. Does our group know what that is?
No.
Nope.
Okay. I didn't think
so. They might. Obey might,
yeah.
But he's the only one of your current party that would. Actually, no. Aga might also. But I think he's still hanging out inside the dirigible.
Right.
Because I don't think Eric wants to RP two characters.
And having a half-orc, which they would just assume is an orc, walking around the city, they would... Meepo, they're going to assume that she's under the effect of a charm spell. an orc, they're probably going to just draw the line and say no.
Yeah. If that's the standard, and they, you know, why would they assume, you know, they're going to take an Occam's razor kind of approach. Oh, there's a kobold walking around. Must be charmed.
Yes, exactly. And there's parts of the city that, oh, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Meepo will.
Uh-huh. Where do I find the kobolds? You're supposed to be here. Where do I find them?
You're not getting a lot of answers. You're pretty sure that they're hearing you, but most of the people who you are asking are pointedly not answering you.
We'll find out, Meepo. I will find out.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think they hear me. I make a face at them.
I will get into the pricing once you get there, but you are shown the way to the railed system that you heard in our last session.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's cool.
And it is one silver per person, and the gnome at the ticket booth is sort of just looking at your party and looking at your party.
I wave.
Looking at your party.
Ari will open his pouch. How many of us are there? Six?
Galen is staying at the Dredgeville with Aegon. With
Aegon? Okay. So we got Meepo, myself, Miros, Obeim, Fenix.
Luminous is accompanying you, and she has already paid.
Right. Well, she's a local. So we're looking at 5 silver, unless I'm wrong. Because Galen and Aegon are staying in the dirigible, so we should be 5.
Yeah,
Ari will
5.
Pull out 5 silver and hand it to the clerk.
Okay.
Ticketmaster.
He doesn't stop looking.
At the group?
You become aware that he's specifically looking at Fenix.
Oh, well, he draws stares everywhere.
True.
Luminous sort of like goes over and sort of nudges him a bit. And he takes the money and he slides it over into the box that he puts all the money in. She nudges him again. He pulls out tickets and sort of hands them. But if you don't put your hand out to catch them, he sort of like pulls it forward and lets go and lets it drop. And the next car comes down and the door opens up and you're able to climb in. It's all a tight squeeze with Fenix there. And it takes off. And everyone give me a constitution save.
I have rolled a 1. So I have a plus 4. I have a plus 4.
You're not alone on that one.
You rolled a 1 too?
Close to 2.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow. Yeah, well, I've got a plus 4 on.
Well, wait a minute. We're all within 10 feet of our paladin. So don't we get a bonus to sitting there?
Oh, well, there you go.
But wait, so
1 or 2 is going to help much, but still.
I get a 10 because I have plus 3, so it's
okay.
Makes it so good.
So you just barely make the save.
17.
You're
fine.
Yeah,
that's what I got. 17.
Okay.
I'm not there.
How does Obeim do?
You're not there.
He did a 19.
Okay. So everyone except Meepo sort of feels their stomach try to move itself to a different portion of your body that is not used to having the stomach there. And the other internal organs are saying, no, stay on your side. Meepo has decided to let everyone underneath know exactly what she happened to have for lunch that day.
Oh, love it.
And
Mr. Ari, I don't...
Particularly as you're going around a turn... And centripetal force.
Hold
is
on.
Thing. There's a wonderful wet splat sound that's sort of staccato as it's hitting various buildings. There was one open window, and a half second later, you just hear, again? As you go off into the distance, you hear another voice go, I keep saying to not open that window. Okay. So as you're flying around, Luminous Skyratchet is trying to point out the landmarks on the way. Your first area that you're going through, she points out the Gemini. Let me zoom. Let me zoom in on this map so I can give the town names correctly. So you're heading westward according to this map. So the first area you go through is known as the Gemmi Market, which has all kinds of fabulous things and little contraptions and fun little toys to play with. She's mostly trying to like pitch this as things to keep Meepo interested and not think about the fact that her stomach decided to turn itself inside out and then come out of her mouth.
Perhaps Obame could help.
He might be able to, but he's currently on the other side of a Dragonborn Paladin, and this is a very tight quarters. So he doesn't even have line of sight at this point.
No. Just it'll be over soon, Meepo.
Yeah, and then you go around another sharp turn. Give me another Constitution save.
Oh, no.
It's another 10, by the way.
Nice.
Oh, I've rolled a 20 this time.
Yay!
Okay, you don't have anything left to puke.
Yeah, exactly. I'm done.
Hey, that could be worse.
Did anyone fail it?
Definitely not. Definitely not.
I've got...
Okay.
At so 19.
Okay, so at this point, you're doing a little better. Luminous sort of raises her arms going around this turn and goes, whee! Now, she deliberately did not talk about the labor quarter, which was when you were going through
right.
and passing the Gemini Market. That was on your right. The labor quarter was on your left. And it's like she doesn't even point that out to you. You're going past the Onyx Tower, in which she points out that there are many excellent mages that do all kinds of work. And mages were, in fact, integral to the founding of Serene and helped to get it off the ground. It wasn't just gnomish spellcasters and inventors, but a contingent of human mages as well were very important in the creation of the city. So they have always been welcome here. Then you go past another area. Well, at the same time you're going past the Onyx Tower, you're also going past, and this would be Area 26 on your map, the Museum of Gnomish Crafts, which is a fine way to learn about gnomish history. And she remembers many school field trips that were taken there. And one time, let's not go into that story. And then when you go past Building 27, that is the Museum of Culture, which goes over specifically the history not of gnomish craft and gnomish inventions, but the history of the city itself. So if you are interested in the city, you may be interested in stopping by there in your free time. Then you hang another really sharp turn. One more Constitution save for old time's sake.
Oh, no.
Finally,
I rolled a three. I rolled a three.
18.
All right.
17 total.
Okay, so at this point, it's just stomach acid that's coming out. You're dry heaving.
That's worse.
It feels a lot worse.
I don't like this ride.
If you were a copper dragonborn, this would be your breath weapon.
But she's green.
Green. Mm-hmm.
And she's either really old copper or...
And now you are going past the Hanging Gardens, which in some cases are literal hanging gardens. Some of the plants here are in levitated chambers that are sort of just like hovering above
Puffy.
The ground. And Luminous is happy to point out that they have collected a variety of high-altitude flora from all over the known world, and they grew it here. And you do see there are creatures cavorting through the Hanging Gardens. You can't make them out 100%. Some of them look very much like birds or bird-human hybrids of some kind. Others look like cats, which is a little weird. But
Ari will ask her, what are those creatures there?
Oh, which ones? The Arakokra, the Kenku, or the Tabaxi?
Yes.
Well, they are the Arakokra, the Kenku, and the Tabaxi.
And can you point to which being goes with which creature?
Crash, if you play a Kenku, I'm going to love you.
I'm not familiar with any of those names, Luminous. We don't have those here.
Most of the names I gave are for various humanoid species that were integral also for the founding of Serene. Many of them helped protect our city before it went airborne. The Arakocra were instrumental in the harnessing of elementals to help power our jet engines. The Tabaxi.
So the Arakocra, are they the ones with the wings, the dark wings, or the brightly colored wings?
Yes.
Oh, both. All right. So the Tabaxi, are they with the wings, or are they the cats?
Those would be the cat people.
Okay. So the ones with wings are the Kenku and the Arakocra. Okay, this is very interesting. Go on, then. Continue,
and
please.
And at this point, you have reached your stop.
Yeah.
Good.
Building 35. You are still within plain view of the Hanging Gardens, which is why you're able to have this conversation, and she's actually able to point out the various species from a distance.
Okay.
Otherwise, she'd be like, you see that one? And you turn to look, and you don't see anything because
it's gone.
You're two blocks down the road now.
Yeah.
But you are now in front of Building 35, which is the Singing Ruins, and she escorts you inside, sort of helping Meepo stay upright.
All right, we'll do that, too.
Making soothing noises to you.
Yeah, okay, I don't like that ride. I really don't want to go.
The ride's over. It's all over. And we're going to go in here. You're going to go to the water. You're going to sit, rest your head a little bit. It'll be okay.
Okay.
And you enter in, and this appears to be a human-run establishment. You don't see many gnomes in here. Matter of fact, Luminous appears to be the only gnome in sight. But it does have a nice, large common area with a variety of species in here, including some of the ones that you saw hanging out in the Hanging Gardens. You suspect that some of them that are hanging out in the Hanging Gardens might come here for a drink before or after. And the room prices are 10 gold piece per single or 7 gold piece for a double per night.
So our normal 10 gold is 1 platinum. That's what he's... These are posted rates, like, on the...
Yeah.
On the wall.
There's a sign outside that has it posted.
Oh, okay.
Another insight check.
Okay. Let's see. Again, Ari is horribly distracted. That is an 8. Total of 8.
Is there anyone else doing an insight check?
Nope. Too busy being not sick now.
Okay. All right. You don't notice anything other than the fact that there's a great big sign with the going rates.
Okay. Our cleric, curse him, got a 23.
Okay. Well, your cleric notices that... now, a lot of what you pass through with the city, you couldn't see other than, that blurry building there is really important.
Yeah.
And that blurry building there is really important. And this series of blurry buildings is where a bunch of cool people hang out. But now that the world has stopped moving so violently in any particular direction, in front of this particular building and inside of it, it looks like it's very much set up in the way that you would organize things for people who are new to the location. Like, say, if you were a tourist.
Matter
of fact, there is a vendor right inside the front entrance with a bunch of trays and a variety of trinkets available for purchase.
Ari doesn't notice that, per se.
And it's probably for the best, because if Meepo was feeling better, she probably would want half of them.
She's always distracted.
Tired.
There's some cork board behind it with a bunch of t-shirts stuck to it. One of them says, my parents went to Serain the Flying City, and all they brought back was this lousy t-shirt.
Yeah.
I didn't fall off of Serain. There's one that says, the Tumbling Fields in bright purple lettering, and it has a picture of a gnome upside down doing a somersault in the middle.
All right. So Ari will look. Ari will turn to Luminous. Is this the best place in town? Do you perhaps have a recommendation?
I live here, so I tend to not stay at the hotels.
You had friends who were visiting.
Most of my friends also live here. This is not the most expensive hotel. There is one. The Imperial Hostelry is, it's got slightly better rooms. It does also cost more. Mostly, oh, I think it's because people are fans of the innkeeper herself. She's quite popular. Apparently, she has a very good singing voice.
Well, perhaps we'll go visit that at a later time. But is this, how shall I put this? Is this perhaps the best place for new people?
She thinks for a moment and says, "You are asking me to apply a bunch of qualifiers that I don't normally do." But I
well,
would
let me,
say
let me...
that this is a fine place for pretty much anyone who has the gold to stay here.
Understood. All right. Then can we will stay here. What?
Can we just cut through this? I'd really like to just get a room and just rest for a while. Thank you very much.
All right. I am not... let us then talk to the innkeep and see if we can get our rooms arranged.
Okay. Well, the inn is run by a husband and wife team where they, mm-hmm. they speak with an accent that you cannot place. It's not one that you've heard before
right.
on this city or anywhere else for that matter.
Yeah.
He's from Barcelona.
Yeah.
The best, like, I cannot do an Italian accent, but your sense is that it would be an Italian or perhaps right. Venetian accent. If I were to attempt it, I would butcher it horribly. But for
well,
the sake of
to be fair, Ari's accent to them would probably sound atrocious as well. Even though he's somewhat, he can express himself well, but again, we're talking about, you know, the common of our world versus their world. So there's going to be some nuances that will be like, what is that? You know, the Valley Girl versus the New Yorker, for example.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Eldenton are the proprietors, and they are very happy to take your gold and have one of their employees lead you to your rooms.
Manuel. All
right. How many rooms do we wish to have? I know Miros wants his own. Meepo and I can certainly share a room.
Okay.
A double. Fenix, Obame, do you wish to room together?
We can share a room. We can share a room also while I talk to him about his behavior in this area.
Excellent.
Well, actually.
Yeah. So it was 7 gold for a double?
Well, 7 gold each if you're staying in a double, yes.
Right. 7 gold each for a double. 10 gold for the single. Yes. So we're at 14, 14, and 10, correct?
Yes.
So 28, 38. All right.
And that's all 5 of you.
Yes. Ari will pay for everyone. He's got more than enough gold at this time. He will hand out a... 38. So he will. I have to check my gold. There it is. Okay. So he will. He will count out 38 gold from his collection, from his pouches. But he will show them one. He will show them a single coin first, and you know, kind of place it down on the table or the counter, and invite them to kind of look it over and be like, "This is the coin of our realm."
They are happy to take it.
Okay.
He's
not going to do anything now. He will count out the rest of the coin.
Give me a perception check.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was looking for, seeing what their reaction was.
Yeah, give me a perception check, Ari.
All right. 18 on the die.
Okay.
And Ari's perception
is
very good.
More than enough. So
yeah.
There's a lot of money changing hands in here because people are buying drinks and paying for rooms and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And the coinage is, it's all about the same in regards to weight,
mm-hmm.
but it is a wide variety of mintings, let's put it that way. Most of the coins are circular, some of them are half moons, some of them have holes in the center, some of them don't, some of them
right.
are squares. Gold is gold, platinum is platinum, silver is silver.
Okay, so the metal is more important to them than the minting.
Yeah. There's a few cases where there might be like silver pieces that are like half the thickness as other silver pieces. And in that case, you just have to pay with twice as many.
Right. All right. That's all he was concerned about. Having come from a mercantile type of background, he wants to make sure that, you know, they're okay with his money. And, you know, they're cool with that. That's fine. All right.
Circulus, having once been one giant empire, has a more unified currency going on.
Currency, exactly, exactly. All right, so we were 38. All right, so.
All right, and you are all shown to your rooms. That price does include meals. It does not include alcohol.
Right.
So if you want to get wasted, that's on your own dime.
Right, and Ari will be like, look, I paid for the rooms. Your liquor's on you.
Hopefully not literally. That means you have too much. All right, and we have been playing for a little over an hour. What do you say we take 5?
Sounds good. Back in a bit.
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. BookofJen.net.
We're back from break, and we are going to skip over to our players who were not attempting to vomit out their stomachs because they decided to become a dirigible, which seemed a much better idea at the time. So, Galen, what are you up to?
Upon returning to the dirigible, I just kind of stand in the middle of the room and start shouting.
Aegon is still there, right?
Aegon is still there. And he just starts shouting, "Girl, I know you're watching. I know you're here. Show yourself."
Why are we shouting incessantly? You're messing up my push-ups.
Keep with the push-ups.
Can't concentrate.
Well, if the goddamn gnome showed up, we wouldn't have this problem, would we?
Aegon, give me an intelligence save.
Okay, I'll try.
Good luck.
7.
Okay, so Aegon is really having his push-ups messed up. He's trying to count how many he's doing, but the numbers he's saying are not in sequential order. In some cases, by a very large margin.
I just can't deal with this rambling.
I'm just going to sit, just plunk down, legs crossed.
Some of them are in scientific notation, which is kind of nice.
I can wait here all day, Carl.
Are you calling him Carl, literally?
Carl.
I kind of am amused by the idea of calling him Carlo, but let's not
The thing is, Scottish people struggle with the name Carl. We genuinely do. It's a whole thing.
Okay. Give me a perception check.
Okay. A lot. 25.
What did you roll? A lot. Picture a number, and now imagine a bigger number.
Well, okay. I have a plus.
Okay, so remember when you had the gnome come on board that had a clipboard?
Mm-hmm.
The clipboard was stuffed full of papers. Like, it had reached its capacity, and then he had added more papers. So mm-hmm. some of the papers were held in by other papers.
Mm-hmm.
You may have done this with the clipboard in the past. I know I have.
Yes.
So some of them did fall out along the way. If they do that on the landing strip itself, they sort of get caught by a breeze, and so long they're swimming with the fishies. But one did fall off in here, and you see it sort of like half stuck underneath one of your cabinets.
I let him on to look at the thing and he messes it up. Go over, pick it up, read it.
Okay. It is... Your first inclination is that it's about something religious, and correct me if I'm wrong, but your character hasn't really been big on the worshipping of deities.
No, the only reason he knows Guiding Bolt is because he saw Obain do it.
Okay. So your first knee-jerk reaction is to say, another religious flyer. I'm going to put this with the ones from the Jehovah's Witnesses. Who the heck are the Jehovah's Witnesses? I don't know, but they found my door and knocked on it anyway. Turning off the lights and hiding under the windows didn't deter them. They were just there.
I hate those people.
But then you go in and read a few words on it, and it catches you that it's for an event. Apparently it was for a concert that was 3 weeks ago, so you missed it. But it was being held at the local temple to Garol Glitterlode.
What?
And it includes at the bottom in a corner directions for how to get there.
Again?
Yeah, so you're going to talk incessantly about random things to yourself again.
Do what I pay you for. Come with me.
Okay.
Does he pay you?
I pay him with house and board.
I'm amused by this only because in my head canon, until you tell me otherwise, it's an actual board. You gave him a board. And he thought, well, it's an okay club. I guess I could use this.
Look, he told me he was gonna help me find my brother. Eventually.
It'll happen.
He keeps saying eventually. I don't know what that means.
It's somewhere in our itinerary. And I specifically use the word itinerary because he doesn't know what that means. Yes, I follow the directions as best I can with Agam at until.
Okay.
God, I'm a bodyguard.
All right. So you head out and give me a perception check, both of you.
720.
Okay, so Agam is oblivious.
Shocking.
I love your orc. It might be one of my favorite characters.
Agam is a great character, played by a great player. But he's not Obame. You become very much aware before you go very far off the landing strip that you are drawing a lot of attention. You, Galen, are not drawing the attention because you're a gnome in a city that was mostly built by gnomes. But your companion, your large, brutish, battle-hardened, battle-axe-wielding, orcish heritage companion, is drawing a lot of attention.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Agam says loudly, am I going to need a bigger great axe for this?
Probably not.
Well, it's nice and shiny and ready to go. I polished it this morning.
You're essentially just here to look like muscle. I don't think there'll be any fighting. I don't think there'll be any problems. It's just there's things going on that I want to check out.
If you say so.
I feel it's just better to be safe than sorry.
Okay, he puts
but you know what might be an idea here? You know what might be an idea here? And I put my hand on him. I move us over to like an alleyway, somewhere where there's no prying eyes.
Well, right now, you're walking through an area that has a lot of large buildings that look almost like warehouses. Some of them have open doors where you look, where if you peer in, you see more of the flying machines that you encountered earlier. And most of the people you encounter in this area are wearing leather caps and goggles. They're mostly gnomes, but there's one or two humans as well.
Okay. So there's nowhere where we can't get, like, people seeing us.
Well, it's not densely populated. So, like, you sort of, like, find an open hangar door and you give me a perception check to see if you find a spot where you think you can hide.
16.
Yeah, you think you find a spot that's sort of out of the way. You're not entirely sure that you're completely hidden, but you don't really have time to argue.
My perception check is just getting worse. Okay. I cast Mage Hand as a cantrip and make it grab onto Agam's hand. And then I put my hand on Agam and cast Invisibility at second level.
So...
Are you making both of you invisible?
No, I'm just making Agam invisible. It's a second level spell.
Gotcha.
But why the Mage Hand?
Because I can't see him. And now the Mage Hand can drag him to where I need him to be. Just by kind of tugging at him to go this way.
Did you explain this to Agam?
Once he's invisible, because he won't know what the hell's going on. Right. Okay. You are invisible. I've used my Mage Hand, and it's holding on to you. Whatever direction I tug you, you just follow me, okay?
No problem.
Okay, because I think there's a... I don't think they like the whole orc thing in this place, and I'd rather make sure we're good, you know?
I don't understand. I've been working on my tan lately. I feel really nice about myself right now.
No, you look good, buddy. You look good. I just think they might be a little racist, you know? But you look good. Don't worry.
I understand. I get it.
Right. Follow me. And I tug with a mage hand.
Agam, played by Alex Karras.
I love this game so much.
Agam, Agam kind of says in a low tone, but Meepo gave me this nice little thing I can put in my hair, and it's wonderfully shiny.
I love the banter between the two. It's great.
They're the original odd couple.
They are literally the original odd couple.
All right. Well, you are cutting through this area filled with plains, and you eventually get to the area on the map that's over on the eastern side that says Gnome Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And you are able to find the temple closest to the middle of this area. By the way, how long does invisibility last?
An hour.
Okay. I'm just going to keep that in mind.
How long has it been?
About 59 minutes. I'm lying. That's not true. It's been maybe about half an hour.
Okay.
Because you were walking. You didn't pay for a sky car or anything.
No, we walk.
It'd be kind of hard for you to explain why the sky car couldn't be filled to capacity.
Yeah.
Or maybe just have Agam hang over the side.
God, Achilles' character.
Or run along behind. That would end well. So you do come to the temple of Garol Glitterload. It does not appear to be a time of day where services are in session, but the front doors are open, and you do hear some subdued voices inside.
All right. Let's have a look around. So I'll walk in, tugging the mage hand as I go.
Okay.
And are there any statues as I walk in? Anything of this god's image?
Not statues, but the main entrance, there's a little vestibule area, and then through that, there is this giant cathedral-like setting with tons of pews going down, all gnomish proportioned, of course, which makes this cathedral even more immense because no one in here is above 4 foot tall, except for Agam, but you can't see him. And at the far end of this, on the what would be the, actually, on the eastern side, if this map was pointing east properly, is a giant stained glass rendition of the gnome that you know as Garl Glittergold.
Huh.
He is exactly as you've seen him before. Golden skin, gem-like eyes. He has a great big grin on his face. And in this particular rendition, in the background, you see what appears to be a multi-headed dragon that's sort of screaming in frustration. And sort of in the sky, you see a stylized depiction of the city that you're currently in.
All right. Well, that explains why you told me to bring them here. Kind of. I will start walking through. Is there like a confessional, like an area where it would just be me so that I can not sound like I'm insane, just talking, asking Garl to show up?
Give me another perception check.
Okay. 20.
You don't think it's a confessional, but you do see some doorways to smaller rooms.
Check if any of them are locked.
No. Your best guess is they are used for gnomes that wish to pray privately.
Okay. I'll open one and...
Like a phone booth to God.
Yeah. Is there enough for me and... Agam, or
you will be very painfully aware of when the last time it was that either of you had a bath if you're both in this
room. Okay, he can stay outside.
Not to mention, I kind of got to pee.
I'll direct him into one of the other ones so he can pee.
Oh, no. I do not like the way this story is going, but at the same time, it's a train wreck. I cannot wait to find out what happens next.
You do your business, okay? And once you're done, just stay there.
Would I count this as an attack?
He's peeing.
He's peeing inside a temple to a god that you've had relations with.
I ain't peeing in the temple.
You hear this? Sometimes you just gotta go.
There's the sound slightly of loud. Water and dripping.
And I go into one of the other ones.
And there is a smell.
Oh, Garl.
Someone's been eating asparagus.
Mr. Glittergold. Darn it, I know you're there.
Let's describe this area a bit more. It is a predominantly wooden structure. There's a variety of bas-reliefs, which are sometimes referred to as low relief, where it's sort of carved in, but it's not a full carving. It's sort of like stylized stuff that is on the walls in various areas. There's very few areas that are flat and smooth. And there's an image that is about at eye level with you, where you are currently sitting inside the small room of Garl, like, lifting a gnome up out of a hole in the ground. And the head sort of just turns to you, which shouldn't work because it's still a low-relief sculpture. So the sculpture is changing to create the illusion that his head is turning towards you. And he puts his hands on his hips and he goes, "Seriously, do you have any idea how difficult it is for a god to manifest in this world?"
"Well, you're the one that put me on this quest and asked me to do these things with not a lot of information."
"So what you're saying is you need some hand-holding."
"No, what I'm saying is... I think you've
been doing that with your mage hand and the orc."
"You know what? He had to go."
"Yeah, you have any idea how long it's going to be for them to get that odor out? Prestidigitation only does so much."
"It'll be fine. I need a little bit of clarification. Are you Garl, or are you Garl with an A? What's going on with that?"
"Yes.
I hate gods.
You're so cryptic." "I'm not so fond of them myself."
"You're so darn cryptic."
"In some worlds, I'm called Garl. In other worlds, I'm called Garl. It's close enough, I haven't really forced the issue and made them make a correction."
"Okay. Okay, but it's still you. Good to know."
What's a vowel shift among friends?
Pretty much.
Sure. "All right. I got them here. Now what?"
"Well, let's see. The main thing that they're probably going to want to do is find another one of those foci. There is one here. It's why the city came here. I didn't have anything to do with that. This was a fortuitous accident. It's below deck."
"Uh-huh."
"Not a lot of people go down there unless they are either a repair crew or they're doing something nefarious. So they'll probably want to go down there in full strength. I don't know exactly where it is. So
this city is huge."
"Yeah, kind of incredible, isn't it?"
"It'll be like looking for a needle in a haystack."
"Well, if you've got a bit of ingenuity, you might be able to figure out a way to find it. You wouldn't be the first person to figure it out. You wouldn't be the first gnome, in fact, to figure it out. Talk to them about it. They'll be able to give you more information. The adventuring friends of yours, I mean. What you personally should do, what will help you the most, is just keep your eyes open and look with an open mind.
Consider this
entire city to be a learning experience."
"See, you say you don't like gods and you're not like the others, but you're doing the whole teach you better things and opening your eyes thing. It's frustrating."
"It usually is. But I have found that when you do too much hand-holding, people expect you to always hold their hands."
"Oh, I don't want hand-holding. Just point in the right direction. You've done that. That's what we needed."
"There you go.
Can this Garl guy help me with a shirt or something? I'm trying to wipe this stuff up here."
"I'll see what I can do. I'm going to
game so much.
I'm going to go clean that up for you. Okay.
Yeah,
nice talking to you."
"Likewise. Don't expect this to happen again anytime soon. I will have to save my strength. Did you get my message earlier?"
"Oh, about the dreams and something's messing with them? What's messing with them?"
"I don't know. I didn't even know until right now that you did, in fact, get my message in your dream. Dreams are weird, which I..."
"It was such a good dream, and then..."
"Yes. Yeah. Dream manipulation is not something that I have a lot of practice in, mostly because I don't practice it. I don't like to do it. So I can attempt to make changes, but your mind can twist them in various ways. I wasn't the first person in there, and there is something coming. It'll probably be here before you reach land. Just keep your eyes open and be ready for it.
What did you get me into?
You were going to be into it one way or the other. At least this way you're going to be better prepared.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, I guess.
You should probably go clean that up.
Yeah, I can smell it from here.
Don't worry about it. I use my tunic. It's just, we're just going to have to throw it away. I have no shirt now.
I got it.
There's a sound of footfalls coming closer and closer.
Okay, well, how long is visibility still up? How long has it been?
It has not been the remaining half hour. It's been maybe about 10 minutes tops. So you got 20 minutes. Okay, it's going to wear off before you get back to the dirigible.
I get out, let him out, vomit the smell.
That would be a constitution save.
Not really vomit, but like...
you sort of gag at it. And
press the digitate as much as I can.
They're not really a cleric. They're more of an acolyte or a priest, but they're coming over and goes, hello, good sir. How can I... Oh, what is that smell? We have a lavatory. You just had to ask.
That wasn't me. I swear.
Well, who else was it? You're the only one here.
I don't know, but I smell it from outside, from inside my room, and it was horrible.
Is that asparagus?
I don't know.
Where did you get asparagus? We haven't had asparagus in 2 weeks.
I don't know. It smells so bad. I have no idea who did this, but I'm happy to try and help clean it up, because that is just disgusting.
Okay. Agam, what are you doing with your tunic?
Oh, it's on the ground. You should see it. You should see the tunic on the ground. This big-ass tunic.
Yeah, there's this giant puddle that is sort of like... It was wiped up with this tunic, but now the tunic is on the ground. It is now releasing its charge, and the puddle is reforming around the tunic.
Oh, God.
And there's some that appears to be on the wall. It appears to have been wiped, but in the process of wiping it, it's been spread out more.
I'll just spend a couple of minutes trying to prestidigitate the urine off everywhere.
Eventually, the consensus of the crowd is that it wasn't from you, because no gnome has a bladder that
What did you drink? Are you a camel?
It just takes... I can't explain it.
We get out of there once it's relatively clean.
There's a slight aroma, but other than the tunic, which no one is picking up.
Burn it where it stands.
Like, you've prestidigitated, the tunic itself is now technically clean, but no one's willing to touch it.
I love the choices we made there.
I don't understand. Everything is fine. I don't know what their issue is. We go wherever we want to anyway.
One of the acolytes closes the door and just puts an out-of-order sign on it.
I don't regret anything we just did.
A visitor comes in and is like, how could a room be out of order? It's just a box with a chair in it.
You don't want to know. The one over here is fine. Brother Gaslighter is going to be bringing out some air fresheners. We're going to hang them up in various places. Keep going. Thank you for coming.
Agam goes to Galen. I don't understand the problem. It seems fine to me.
I'll explain when we're back at the ship.
All right, well, hurry up and get back. I'm getting kind of cold.
Okay.
You are at a very high altitude. It is quite chilly.
And he's Starkers.
No, just his tunic. He's got pants on.
Yeah, just the tunic.
Okay. As the invisibility spell is getting ready to wear off, I'll dump another end to him.
Okay. And you are able to make it back to the dirigible safely.
Okay. And then once we're at the dirigible, I will press to digitate onto him to clean up whatever urine is left.
He now and smells like minty pine.
And explain to him why they were so upset.
Oh, I do not like this scent. Oh, this is horrible. Oh, this is the worst. I don't understand why you put me with this. Well, it must have been the same.
It was new car smell, and you didn't like that one either.
It was this, the new car smell, or leaving you smell like urine. I think this was the better option.
Well, going back to do push-ups.
Okay. good lord.
And I think, as long as I want to continue, that's where we should end it for tonight.
With urine.
You're out. Thank you all for playing. This has been a collection of wonderful people who are playing with me, including Chris. Chris, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Akari_mag, or you can find me on my podcast, which is Azeroth Coast to Coast. You can find us at azerothctc.com. A new episode was uploaded today, and we talk about the metagame and MOBAs, RPGs, MMOs, and all those things.
And you have a Con Before the Storm coming up.
Con Before the Storm, yes. Well, it's not my Con Before the Storm, but I volunteer for Con Before the Storm when I go to BlizzCon. It's the Anaheim Hilton on November 1st. And they did hit their Kickstarter goals, but not all the stretch goals, so we're working on additional funding for that. But yes, Con Before the Storm, day before BlizzCon at the Anaheim Hilton. It'll be great.
And we also had Tom. Tom, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Bolthra. That's BOLTHRA.
And you are a published author twice over now.
I am, yeah.
Go get the book!
My new book is called On Black Winds We Rise. It's the first book in the No Gods Before Us series.
Available in ebook and paperback varieties on Amazon.
It is.
Book purchased. I will be reading it on a particular trip that I'm about to take.
Awesome. Thank you.
In a month.
Thank you. Show it to your friends. Get them hooked on it as well. I need all the addicts I can handle. So.
And we also were joined by Jen. Jen, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitch at Queen of Haiku, especially now that 14's on. You can also find my website is bookofgen.net, and you can find a bunch of gaming stuff and other stuff. Two podcasts. One is where I read my writing, has nothing to do with video games far. The other one is called Jen's Lore Corner, and it is focused on the lore of the Diablo series.
And your most recent podcast was Desperately Searching Mario, which...
Yeah, Desperately Seeking Mario.
I was disappointed when I first listened to it, that it was not, in fact, about a pair of brothers.
No.
And a bunch of mushrooms. No. But no. It was particularly interesting, nonetheless.
It's a different kind of adventure, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. I believe it can be summarized as new phone, who dis?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We were also joined by Eric. Eric, where can we find you?
Hey, guys. You can find me on Twitter at synergy@live.com. Synergy. 007, and you can also find me at vote2kick.com.
And last but not least, we were joined by Logan and Matt, who you can find here, but if you find them anywhere else, you're creepy. Don't do that. And they both hit the push-to-talk button and said nothing. That's
oh, nope. Nice. Sorry.
Yes, because I had a weak spot.
Yes.
All right, so thank you all for listening. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
See ya.
Same bat punk.
Maybe someday.